This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Mike Shope.
Hey. Put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey. Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, here I thought after yesterday's photo shoot experience that you and I had come a distance, but then I walk in today with shorts and sandals, and you're like, this guy, what a jerk.
You had a ski cap on, too.
Well, like leaves through your head, so you, I had
you,
a hat
you,
on.
You looked so ridiculous that I didn't even thank you for holding the... You were holding the door for me as I walked in. You were on your way out, and I was on my way in, and you held the door, and I just said, you look ridiculous.
Well, that, you know, instead you're
of
entitled.
Instead of thank you.
Whatever. You're entitled. We're in the 50s today. I don't know. Shorts.
Yeah.
Felt right.
Our guest has got to hear about this photo shoot. We talked about it yesterday, but Nick
has got to have tons of photo shoot experience.
What we went through yesterday. I mean, it was fine. It was great.
But great even.
It was the first time we'd ever been like handled that way. You know what I mean? Like this was a studio with like, you know, different backdrops, different places. The guy's standing on the ladders, right? All kinds of stuff. And at one point, he tells us to face one another, and we were nose to nose like boxers at a news conference. It was just the weirdest thing it was really strange. Nick Bakay on the Western Hotline. Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, fellas. Yeah, I've had a few of those, and it's very hard not to be self-conscious. And, you know, my favorite one is many years ago when I was the voice of the talking cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. They did a photo shoot of me holding one of our live Sabrina cats, and that was my, you know, publicity shot for that show. And somewhere in my archives, probably used to be nestled close to Bulldog's whammy weenie,
so to speak.
There's a so to speak. Those were the days, Chris. I miss you. There is a proof sheet of me holding this cat, and you know you'll get them through these proof sheets. They take about 150 shots of you doing the same thing, and you're supposed to pick one. But what's great is in order to get the cat's focus on the same spot as mine. The trainer had this sort of extended spoon on a stick that it had a beeper attached to it. And on the stick, they would put tuna to make sure the cat was fully focused where you wanted it.
That's awesome.
So all these photo shoots with a beep, 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 tuna spoon. Look at the tuna spoon. And, there are shots in that proof sheet of where the tuna spoon broke the frame of the picture. And you have both the cat and me mesmerized by the premise of a bite of tuna. And those are the best ones.
Tuna spoon on a stick is great.
Right? That should be the name of my fantasy.
I was just going to say that. Too late for this year, but tuna spoons is... I'm writing it down for next year.
Tuna spoon on a stick is great.
Love that.
Oh, man.
Bulldog was a little bit too close to my whammy weenie yesterday if we're really talking like adults.
Really. How short were those shorts?
Back up.
He didn't have
three
shorts
words,
on yesterday. He wore pants. Yeah, for the
that's
photo
yesterday.
Wearing those wham wake me up before you go shorts.
Like it wasn't 56 yesterday. I mean, I'm a grown up.
So what's cracking, man? Like, what is cooking? I was really, really bummed out. You know, we talked to you before both seasons of the HBO Max venture, the bookie. Oh, and yeah. I don't know. Did I come out there and talk to somebody? You need me to? You need a heavy? I mean,
wish you would.
You probably know heavier than me. But I mean, I just did they do you dirty there?
Maybe you can make a case. You know, I mean, look, if we've been a sort of overwhelming success, I don't think they have a choice in such matters. So there's that in their defense. But we weren't not successful. And right. I know that, you know, I feel like the show was extremely successful in terms of the premise and what we did. And we had great actors and all that. I don't think we were ever their favorite, you know, for a variety of reasons. So, you know, I think we needed to be that slam dunk or else we were not going to be long for this world. But, you know, the fact is, too, it's a strange new world in terms of shows' lifespans, you know. And bottom line, the fact that we got to do two seasons of it, I remain incredibly grateful about because I loved every minute of it. And I think it was maybe of all the things I've worked on as a writer, I think it's maybe the closest to my voice and my what I would be left. I would be doing if left to my own devices, which one never is. So it was a privilege.
Yeah,
and I have nothing but gratitude. I really do.
I don't think we ever got a chance to connect after, you know, we talked to you before season two premiered, and I don't remember which episode it was, but Ray Romano on his daughter's bike. Nick was friggin' gold. I mean, that was just so. So good. Like Ray, his character on the show, like owes, you know, the bookie money, and he rides to try to pay the debt or explain why he can't pay the debt on his daughter's, like, you know, Huffy, and it's just it's the best.
Is there a basket on the bike in the front
there
of the bike?
Is a basket and a bell, and both
a bell.
Yeah,
love it.
It was such a good bit, man. Really good.
What's next, Nick? What do you want to do, or what are you doing? That's the next thing for you.
Well, I'm working right now. The writers are in, and I am show running, exec producing season two of Leanne Morgan's Netflix show, Leanne. And that's, we're actually going to start shooting first week of January. So we've been in trying to fill the shelf with a few scripts to be ready. So that's where I'm at, full focus.
Did you have any interest in jumping out of that Bill's Hallmark thing? Bulldog applied for a part. I don't know if you...
Oh, nice. You know what? I have to admit, I was... you know, I think my people got contacted at one point about that, but nothing came of it, so I have no idea. And I have to confess, I haven't watched it. Yeah. Hallmark is really not my domain.
No, or mine.
No, nor mine.
But then again, I never thought I'd be a talking cat, boys.
Right.
Life is full of curveballs.
Right. Yeah.
Curveballs or curveballs?
Yeah, they asked one of the producers or an assistant, whatever, like reached out and said, like, you know, here's what we have in mind. And I thought, okay, I'll send something in. And then I also did like they didn't ask for it, but I did like a riff in case they wanted to squeeze in a character getting in their car and the radio's on, you know, because they were looking for someone to be like a stadium announcer, and that's not my domain at all.
Uh-huh.
So I just sort of did this thing where I'm talking about the Bills and the Chiefs at Christmas or something. It was like, you know, whatever. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I just sent it in and, you know, yeah, I didn't get called. So anyway.
That's the outcome of, I would say, 99.9% of the auditions I've done my entire career.
You know,
Silence.
can maybe we take a minute on that? We just talked to Joe Ostrowski earlier, our friend from Bet Sweats, which wrapped today, and he's going on to his own venture after this. And there might be people listening to you, Nick, and have heard you on with us many times that, I mean, it's much safer to just not try and put your proverbial hat in the ring on things. But I don't know, what would you say? Like, you probably in your business have to be prepared to get turned down a lot, or else what chance do you have? Is that not true?
No, that's absolutely true. I think, honestly, it's why I'm a writer primarily, is because I couldn't, I've had a nice career doing, on camera and voices and things like that. I've done a lot of stuff, but as your life progresses, it's one thing when you're in your 20s and you should take a shot at everything. You know, your 20s should be all about rolling the dice, at least your 20s. Mine went well beyond that. It's weird. The market tells you who you are. It's the same thing as, when you're here in L.A. auditioning right and left. At a certain point, you realize I see the same five guys waiting to read for everything I go in on. And then you realize, oh, that's my mirror. It's not always thrilling. The market slowly but surely told me, if you want to be an adult and make a living and have any kind of life, it's going to be writing, kid. Acting was never sustainable enough to be on par with my ambitions for my life. I always say, go for it. You're going to have surprises along the way. You may end up in a career that is either parallel to what you were targeting or removed, but in the same neighborhood. And you should always listen to what the world is encouraging. Flexibility underrated in terms of tenacity.
Hollywood's Nick Bakay on the Western Hotline. Buffalo native. Buffalo's Nick Bakay. Huge Bills and Sabres fan. So let's segue into how you're enjoying the ride this season with the Bills, because it has been here. I've stopped saying it because we're almost to January, but like in early November, I thought we're not going to make it to January. The fan base, we're going to start eating each other.
I just think I probably model what any diehard Bills fan went through this year. It's so unbelievably exciting right now. It's always exciting. As I've often said in conversations we've had, I'll trade an ultimately fall short season with Josh Allen and this era of Bills football over, I remember Dick Geron, So I'm grateful because it's so exciting. And I have really tried to train myself to just embrace the magic and not be all about results, but to be about the moment, which is never a dull moment with the Bills in this era. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, we are lucky enough to have the best player in the game right now, I believe.
Think about even just the last 2 weeks. Cincinnati's up. They're down 10 points in the fourth quarter of both games.
No, they weren't down 10 in the fourth quarter of this game against New England.
But they were down 21-0.
Yep,
earlier than that.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, and those felt like the kind of games that we lose, and there is no surprise at the end. Both these wins were unbelievable. I will say, we get so wrapped up in it emotionally that we don't necessarily remember patterns of how this organization rolls. But the Bills do tend to build momentum down the stretch and turn into a better team than you were looking at in October. And that is exactly what's happening. And, and interesting things like Kansas City not qualifying. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's there. It's there. We're not perfect, but who is right now?
Yes. And in addition to that, I would say this is one thing that, I don't know, I've thought of and also said to maybe make it feel better. The example of the Manning Colts that had, even almost undefeated seasons, but then would lose in the playoffs to one team, New England. And then one year they just didn't. That wasn't their best team, but they won it. So that premise, in addition to how even the AFC playoff field really does look can make you optimistic, can make you feel good.
Absolutely. And, you know, certain teams have a profile that's worrisome, but it's always been the case. I used to always feel that way about the Ravens, and we've always done well with them in the playoffs. I always thought, there's our kryptonite, and it isn't the case. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Josh is a better playoff quarterback than Lamar is. But either way, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, the hope meter is robust right now for all these reasons.
What's football like, or being a football fan like in L.A. right now? You've got two teams. I don't know if it's a cliche, but what you hear every time somebody's going out there is they'll have the crowd. Philadelphia went out there a couple of weeks ago to play the Chargers, and the Bills have been out there. Is that overstated? Is it really right? Maybe it's understated. I don't know. Like, you're there.
I think it's much more the case for Charger games because the Chargers relocated here, and there is no historical support. On the other hand, I've been to a number of Rams games in the last couple of years, and it is by our standards as Buffalo sports fans. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. It's just like when the Sabres play the friggin' Leafs, you know, and it's just an invasion. It's 50% whoever is on the road in L.A., at least 50%. But the Rams fans are passionate fans-ish. football is just not the same animal here in terms of the frenzy and the passion and the local identity. It'll never be. I don't think this place is not a home field advantage stadium. It just isn't. I mean, I don't think it's as bad as Vegas, but it's not good.
It's too nice.
Yeah. And this, you know, it's just, I don't know, football's not in the blood here. It just isn't. That doesn't mean there aren't hardcore fans and there's a lot of football played here, but it's just not everything's dissipated. This is a city of so many relocated people, and that's part of it too.
Nick, do you think about the stadium closing here, either whether that's, you know, your last time here or your first time going to a game here? Like, this is it. It's a little bit of a distraction in a sense with how this season is going to play out. Now it looks like they probably won't get home playoff games. We don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. I would say before the season when we talked about this, it was almost assumed that they would.
At least one, yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it in the playoff context. To go out in a playoff game would only be appropriate. But, yeah, you know, I mean, listen, that stadium's old like I am, and I was there a million times. I was at Rock Pile games, too.
Oh, wow.
And I love going to that stadium. I have too many great memories of it. And I have, obviously, having experienced SoFi, I know what these futuristic spaceship football stadiums are like. And I will tell you that it is not what we think of as, you know, a Buffalo football game, but it's magnificent. It's going to be beautiful.
How would you characterize your Sabres fandom at this time? It's been a big week here. New GM, Kevin Adams is out. Kekalainen is in. Are you on fumes with them, or are you, like, waiting for 7:30 Eastern tonight?
I always watch, you know, unless I can't because of work or schedule. But, I have been on fumes forever, like all Sabres fans. Doesn't stop me from following. Tonight is fascinating. You know, I can't stop thinking about that Montreal game where the owner was there and gave a talk. I mean, listen, the night that the people who signed my checks are hanging around the set, I am on my game. I mean, that was the biggest. If that isn't a sign that this team is irreparably passionless. If your paycheck is sitting there saying, hey, guys, give it a shot, I'm behind you, and then you go out and crap the bed to that extent, it makes tonight, for me, tonight is Montreal 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Right.
You know, they can shake everything up, and they can do all this radical stuff, and everybody, oh, poor Kevin Adams, he signs me to an over-rich contract, you know. But these guys don't actually, doesn't manifest in any way with these asses. So, you know, and I don't think I'm the only Sabre fan who feels that way. And I'm really like, look, you know, are you guys going to step up tonight? And I won't buy it until I see it.
That's fair. They also just lost to this team, which is not a really good team, a couple of weeks ago, kind of badly. So it would be nice if they looked like they were bothered by that remember
and
that.
And that was one of those, that was another two-game win buster, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I want to be wrong. I really do. But I suspect that tonight will be the perfect tee-up for our new GM to do some radical things. If he can persuade anyone to take on our underperforming, overpaid excess.
You put it like that, I'm not sure I want him to win. We'll see. See what happens.
It's a Pyrrhic victory, you know?
Yep.
Finally get a streak going, and it encourages more of this nonsense.
All right, so where on the horizon is this Netflix joint you were talking about a few minutes ago?
Leanne.
Yeah.
Leanne, season one is there, as everything in Netflix is in perpetuity throughout the universe. So you can check season one out, and season two... we haven't started shooting yet, so it's down the road. I'm not even sure we have an official launch date for that. But
all right.
You can also see Leanne's stand-up specials, which are what made her a star. She's outstanding, and it's been a joy.
These are not Wham shorts. These are just perfectly normal, fashionable, golfable shorts, which I'm sure, you know, I'm not sure, but maybe you're wearing shorts being in L.A. I'm not going to put myself down any further. Nick Bakay with us.
Man over a certain age should ever be in shorts, so no, you'll never catch me.
Bulldog hates it. He thinks I'm a
I'm
jerk.
I'm a bulldog. He's right. He's right. Enough.
Wow. Enough with the shorts. All right. I respect you. Thank you, Nick. It's always a pleasure. Happy holidays.
Yeah, you too, guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Nick Bakay with us on the Western Hotline. The Sabres host the Flyers tonight at 7:30. Paul, extended pregame, we're calling it. Paul Hamilton joining us
week.
At 6.
It's been a big week.
Yeah, there's and also so long since they've played.
That's right. So we need 90 minutes
when
to
they
get you
play
ready for tonight's Sabres game.
Two nights in a row, we might not even have interviews. But 4 days, or 3 days between games, Sunday to Thursday.
All this news, we got all this reaction to this news, so we got a lot for you coming up.
We got the three stars for you tonight. Tuck, Darlene Thompson interviews, and of course, Lindy Ruff. That's a couple of hours away. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
We're going to evaluate everything moving forward, whether it's the scouting staff, management, coaches. Everybody is under evaluation at this point, but there are a lot of good people here that are great at their jobs.
Oh, sorry. That's Jarmo Kekalainen. Will there be a Do Something Jarmo sign in the building tonight? I was just drifting off for a second there, trying to think of where I would draft Darius Slay in a cup of coffee draft. Is that a first round pick? Remember Darius Slay? Remember the former Bill Darius Slay? Or current Bill? Or no? What is he?
He's on a list.
He's nobody else's.
Non-football injury, whatever. They have his rights.
Nobody else can have him.
Unless they, you know, decide to let him free of that.
There's got to be some way. I know when this happened, I brought up just trade him to the Eagles for a seventh or something, and I was correctly told that you can't do that because the deadline has passed. There's got to be some way to do that, though.
I'm sort of feeling like he must not have wanted to continue playing because I feel like we would have heard something. Like, you know, right, like his agent, the PA, like, you know, come on, Bills. You know, not that they would have to cave to that, but I think we'd have heard about it.
Maybe he changes his mind.
What do you mean? About
decides to play, just shows up.
Yeah.
He could do that, right?
I think so.
If he called the Bills and said, I've changed my mind, I'm ready.
I'd like to come help you for the playoffs.
Here I am.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. I don't know. Do we have to care? But nobody was thinking about Darius Slay.
I would care if it happened, but I don't. I'm not expecting it, I guess.
I wouldn't say I'm expecting it, but
just
it'd be kind of cool.
Raising it as a possibility, yeah. Yeah.
What is the state of their defense for you right now? Like, they're getting by. They gave up, I mean, what, 31 to New England, 34 to Cincinnati last two games. They've had a couple of takeaways in that span, like three, actually two against the Bengals, one against the Patriots. Are you optimistic? Are you just sort of, I'm more resigned to the reality that it's just like okay at best. And if I get takeaways, I might survive. If I don't, yeah. I won't.
I wouldn't say, silly to say it doesn't concern me at all. Because there could be a game here coming up that, you know, you don't get to play next week after if it goes badly where, you know, if you can't stop a running back like they couldn't in the first half of this game against New England, you could be in real trouble. It's been a weird year for it. Like they've gotten away with it in games they've won where they've had their worst days. The games they've lost, the defense, as bad as it was for parts of the games, I feel very strongly that the defense did not cost them the Atlanta game or the Houston game or the Miami game. Like those are losses, or even the New England game. Those are losses that I kind of put at the feet of the offense. I lost to Atlanta by 10. I scored 14 points. You know, like I just couldn't block. And same thing with Houston. So
Atlanta is their most yards allowed of any game this year.
But it was almost all, like it was like 200 and it was a pile of yards in the first half. The second half, they give up a field goal. Same with Houston. It wasn't as many yards as the Atlanta game. Like the Atlanta game, the first half of the Atlanta game was maybe as bad as they've looked at all year
ever
on defense. And yeah, that game to me was still entirely winnable if the offense was at all functional. They just could not get out of their own way. I mean, I don't expect, all that said, like I don't expect them to score 30 every week, like on the nose, right? That's not realistic. You know, they're averaging 29.5 this year, so they're close to whatever that threshold was last year.
Yep.
I don't want to necessarily be like, I always want more from the offense, but the defense has not cost them in losses this year. To me, it was the offense that was just couldn't function. Passing game was just awful in some of these games. And so I that allows me, I think, to not be as worried about it as maybe the stats tell me I should be. I feel like when they've needed it, they needed to buckle down in those games to give themselves a chance, and they did. And what got me beat is I couldn't complete a few more passes and win the Houston game when I'm down there late, or even just get back in the Atlanta game. The Miami game shut out for three quarters against the Miami Dolphins. Like, what the is that? You know, that's 16-0, and then it got sideways late with the two big runs. But that's a game I still would look at the offense before I would look at the defense. So I don't know. I'm not trying to slant it one way. I think objectively, their defense has not cost them the one seed. I feel like the offense has been the bigger problem in those games. They could have won any one of those games if their offense was, you know, functioning those days.
It's a really interesting take, and you've been very consistent on that going back into, you know, previous seasons. It's interesting to me in a few different ways. One is that it seems a little bit like something I should want to say as well, but I really don't. Like, it's sort of the point that these are like basketball games now. Go back 5 years where everybody's unstoppable, and I just want to be – I want to have the ball at the end. That's
right.
It. And the league has changed since then. So you have – look at the AFC field in the playoffs. I mean, you've got defense-first teams that not only are in the mix there, but are kind of like almost intimidating. Denver and Houston and these teams that everybody's hot for, and nobody likes their offense, you know? So it's different in that way. But I do sort of want to kind of have that be my take too. I just, I mean, what is it to say that their offense is the problem? Because it's not Allen. You're not going to say that.
No.
But you're probably going to talk about the roster. You know, you're going to talk about who they are at receiver or Joe Brady. Probably not their line. Definitely not Cook. Not Allen. It's got to be a wide receiver. I think.
Yeah.
You're the one saying it.
Well, mostly it is. The line has had their problems. I mean, the scheme, like, I'm not one who gets hung up play to play. Like, everybody's screaming about the tunnel screens and these different things. And, like, ignoring the fact that a lot of those are off of RPOs where Allen is making a choice. You know, you want him to not have the choice because you hate the play so much. I don't know. Like, I you know me. I mean, for years, I'm, like, I don't want to settle for the default of the coordinator, the coordinator, the coordinator. I do think the line has hurt them. I mean, the Atlanta game, you know, whether it was this schematically, you know, something Brady could have done or Cromer ahead of time or even in game to adjust, that they it hurt them in both the Atlanta and Houston losses badly, the line. I mean, I went into the Houston game kind of bragging about it. I've got an antidote for the edge guys. Go ahead, come at me with your fancy guy. I got two guys that are real good, and I'm gonna handle you.
Well, they both got hurt.
They both got hurt, and they got their doors blown off. You know, so the line has been a problem at times, I would say, those two games specifically. But, yeah, no, mostly it's do I have enough juice? Do I have enough talent to help Allen? Like, the whole year, it's just, some of it is so backwards. Like, on one hand, you will have, I think, you know, I try not to take in too much of it, but it's hard to avoid. Like, the national take on the Bills right now is, if not now, when? Right? No Chiefs, Lamar is, you know, questionable to make it, and what kind of form are they going to be in if they get there? Like, so the path is cleared, so Josh Allen, you got to go do it. Like, no excuses. But I think a lot of the same people saying that will tell you that their roster is not great. So, like, which is it? You know, is he going to wear a scarlet letter if he doesn't make it past the AFC title game this year because Mahomes and Lamar weren't in?
That's all possible.
Right?
I think.
But at the same time, you're telling me that they've got one of the worst receiving cores, maybe the worst receiving core of any contending team in the league. And so, like, what is supposed to be, what's right here?
That position is, whether consciously or subconsciously, setting the Bills up for disaster. Like, it's a trap, to your point. I mean, because you're right. Like, all of that is where, it's already been true for the last 4 or 5 years. Like, this exact thing, it's just there's no Mahomes this time, at least. But, you know, there are other guys, and there are road games. So it'll just be a different... If it ends up the same, it'll just be a different explanation.
I appreciate the point about, you know, the league. It has changed. And at least so far this year, the teams with the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
You know, I don't think New England is a defense first team necessarily. I mean, Drake May has been an MVP candidate, so I don't think I want to include them. But Denver is certainly that. Jacksonville has some of that too. I mean, they've got an offensive head coach, but their defense has had a strong year. And Houston certainly is that. Let's see one of these teams get it to the garage. You know, because I still do feel, and this is the crux of my position on the Bills' playoff losses the last two seasons. It's been almost any time we're talking, and I would say the same right now. I'm going to take it. I'm going to sign for it right now. I've got the ball at your 35, and a field goal ties the game. A touchdown wins it. You know, it's the two-minute warning. Those are the last 2 years.
At your 35.
They were in field goal range against KC 2 years ago. They were around midfield against the Chiefs last year.
Okay.
Right? So I'm in good shape. I'm signing for that any day.
They just missed the kick.
Right. But I'm taking that, like right now, that outcome in any playoff game, I've got the ball with a chance to go win. Yeah, I'll do that.
I think anybody would. My problem with this overall assessment is that they give up 400 yards in every one of the almost, you know, 400 yards in every one of these playoff losses. So all of that is fine. Like I'll take that too. Give me the ball 2 minutes down what, 3?
I guess I want to tell you to not be worried about the yards. The yards don't count. The points count.
Well, how many points is it? Last year it was 32. The year before that it was not as many, but it was 9 yards a play. Right? They didn't, just wasn't 27, whatever it was.
Like, yeah,
you can use points as the same. Bengals, the 13 seconds, like they're in the 30s. Like I they can't run the table in the playoffs giving up 30 points a game. And I'm not saying
I agree.
It's just too much pressure. Like if they have the ball down 30-27 in each one of these AFC playoff games and have 2 minutes to go, like I just don't think you win them all. I think you have to do better than that defensively.
Well, the thing about these playoff games the last 2 years is that they didn't have to win them all that way. I mean, as it turned out, the Baltimore game, they hung on. I mean, a guy dropped the pass, but they got there. Right, I mean, they didn't need to score at the end, and that certainly wasn't the case in a wild card game that they won by 23 points. So it really has been one game each year where they've needed that.
Well, they were lucky to beat Baltimore. Would you not say that? I mean, they were +3 in takeaways. They got outgained badly by the Ravens, and then you have the Andrews drop. Like they were that kind of. If it's not in the playoffs, it's easier to say it maybe, but they were lucky that night. To be +3.
All right. I don't care if they were lucky or not. They did not need their offense to go down and win the game at the end, like I'm saying here. And so the next week they did, and they didn't come through. And the previous year, that happened one time, and they also didn't come through. So, that's just where I've been living. And it's not necessarily meant to, like, be really harsh on Josh Allen himself. Like, I probably am guilty of wanting everything. Like, I want to be able to make this criticism, but also not ask him for more. That's the point of the roster, and it's the point of the skill positions. It's the point of not having a better guy than Amari Cooper to put the ball in his hands last year and the year before that. Whatever it is, like, I need a guy. I need a guy that I can count on to make that help Allen make that play. And
Mecole Hardman.
That's still where I'm residing, and I don't think I have a ton of company.
I saw an Amari Cooper Bills jersey yesterday walking around.
Really, you did?
Yeah, maybe the first one I've seen, unless I saw one at the stadium late last year.
You could quickly turn that into a Cooks.
Do I want to?
I don't know.
Who's Cooks? Like, do I know that I want to do that? Who will end up with more receptions for the Bills, Cooper or Cooks? Cooks has a chance.
I guess he has a chance.
Maybe if you're going to get what you want from the Bills offense, you might need Brandon Cooks to deliver. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll talk to Sal at 5. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.